This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In today's world, strength is looked upon as the preferred way to be. Little boys and girls get inspired with bodybuilders or extraordinary athletes that excel in their sport. Nations of the world, well, they claim negotiating from strength has a far greater chance for success than if they try to leverage influence from weakness. Sadly, the truth of the matter is that if you do show weakness, there's a high risk you will be threatened by something or someone that thinks they have an advantage for some kind of selfish gain. But what if there was something we're missing, something that is key to the concept that there is strength in weakness, and that weakness doesn't necessarily mean you are at a disadvantage, but rather can actually provide inner strength which can be translated into life's successes? Well, stay with us as we explore this subject of strength and weakness.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Greetings. Welcome to Armor of God. We're glad you could join us for today's program. What I'd like to talk about today is a principle, and it's known as strength through weakness. Let me repeat that. Strength through weakness. Now, when you first hear that, you may think that's counterintuitive. That might not make sense to you. But when we think about this concept, we find various applications of it within the pages of your Bible. I want to get things started by looking at one particular scripture that can really help us get rolling on this topic. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Now, we know this was written by the Apostle Paul, and listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, why did Paul say that? How could you be weak when you're strong? How could you be strong when you're weak? Well, if you read the preceding verses, Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh that had buffeted him. It was some physical ailment or maybe some spiritual ailment that he had. And he said he prayed to God to take this away from him, but God did not. And then he realized that through this thorn in the flesh, he was being built up. He was building resiliency. And what do we know about the Apostle Paul? He suffered shipwrecks. He suffered imprisonment. He suffered stoning. He suffered all kinds of things that would have led someone to fall away from spreading the gospel message. Yet he went farther and more actively than any other apostle in spreading that message. Throughout the Bible, we see examples of this, as of strength and weakness. When we look at the nation of Israel, God chose a slave nation. Why didn't he choose Egypt, which was a powerful nation at that time? God chose David, who was the weakest among his brothers at that time, that he went against Goliath. God told Gideon, you're only going to take 300 men to go against 100,000 Midianites. We see strength in weakness in all of these examples. And what is the strength? The strength is God's strength. God was working in all of those incidents to create the strength that was needed to overcome the situation at hand. And let's think about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He became man. He was God, strength, and He became man, weakness, but He did something tremendous by becoming man, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we move forward. Remember this about Jesus Christ, though. He was the Lamb of God. Once again, a symbol of weakness when you think about the animal kingdom. Now, before we get any further in today's program, what we want to do is offer you a free booklet and a free CD. The booklet we'd like to offer you today is titled, How You Can Be an Overcomer. Jesus Christ promises everlasting life in the kingdom of God to him who overcomes. But what does it mean to be an overcomer? We would also like you to get a full-length sermon CD titled, A Vulnerable Tabernacle. In this sermon, I will expand on the themes we are discussing on today's program. To get both these items free of charge, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can download that booklet and listen to that CD right from our website. Go to www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. You can also go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon webcast at www.cgi.org. Don't forget to download our CGI Digital Network app at any app store. It is also free of charge. Thanks again for joining us on today's program. We're talking about strength in weakness. And at the beginning of today's program, we talked about various examples. The prominent one was the Apostle Paul. That Paul gained strength through the thorn in the flesh that he had to deal with. It built resiliency in him. It built stick-to-itiveness in him. And so we see that, yes, strength can come through weakness, especially when we are relying on God in our weakest moments. Now, let me develop this idea a little bit further. We're going to get back to Jesus Christ as an example of that, but let's think about the natural world for a moment. Because who put the natural world together? Who created the minds of men and women? Obviously, it's God. So we might see some insight within that natural world. And here's what I'm talking about. Let's say you want to become a great weightlifter or a great runner. What you have to do to your body is you will have to break it down in order to build it up. You get what I'm saying here? You gain strength by weakening your body, believe it or not. I've done a little weightlifting in my day, and what I realized was, what I learned was, that when I squatted on, let's say, a Sunday, I needed to rest and recuperate about 3 days before I wanted to squat again. Now, why is that? Because my muscle fibers were broken down in my squat routine on Sunday, and they needed to come back together and be built back together before I could lift and do squats again on Wednesday. So we see this principle playing out within the physical body. Runners who want to run 26 miles don't start with 26 miles. They build up to that over a long period of time. Again, in training to get to 26 miles, you break down the body in order to build it up so it can take more mileage and more mileage before you finally reach your goal. Think about this from a psychological aspect also. Let's think about performance reviews at work or getting feedback from your parents or a colleague. What happens when you get that feedback? Hey, you know what? You need to do this because you aren't so good at that, okay? We don't often want to hear it put that way, but that's what performance reviews are. That's what feedback is about. It's trying to build you up by letting you know where you're deficient, what you need to work on. Now, many managers will also tell you what you're doing well, so please keep that in mind. But feedback is about breaking you down a little bit so you can build yourself up and know what you need to work on. The military does this also. What do they do to those young raw recruits, 18, 19, 20 years old? They break them down physically, emotionally, psychologically, and then build them up for becoming war fighters or to become police officers or firemen or whatever the training is that they're going through to become what they're going to become. So this principle is all over the place when we look at life, that we can gain strength through weakness. And I now want to look at that concept based upon the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now, I told you that the symbol of Christ when he was on this earth was the symbol of a lamb. Do you know that a lamb is one of the most vulnerable animals within the animal kingdom? It doesn't have any natural defenses like many animals do. The porcupine has its needles. A dog can bark and it has sharp teeth. But a lamb doesn't have anything that can fight against other animals. Isn't that interesting when we think about the symbol of Jesus Christ while he walked on this earth? Now, I'd like to turn over to the book of Hebrews because it tells us a lot about the life of Christ and why his weakness became the ultimate strength for all of mankind. I want to first turn to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, and we'll get a little bit of the story here. Hebrews 4 and verse 15 says this, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now, Christ living a sinless life allowed him to become that high priest that we can go to for sustenance, for succor, in order to get through this life that we are going through. But there's much, much more to what Christ's life did for us, and it's found also in the book of Hebrews, specifically in Hebrews chapter 2. So one element is his high priesthood, but another thing that he gained through becoming a man and dying, okay, is this. Notice what we read in Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. "For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Wow! Perfect through sufferings? Perfect through a weakness? Yes, believe it or not. By Christ becoming a human being, flesh and blood, and not sinning, he overcame death for us. He qualified to become our high priest. Notice what we read further in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 11. "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Why does God give him these children? Here's why. Verse 14 explains, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death..." What is death? Death is as weak as you can get, folks. It is the cessation of life. That is ultimate weakness. But through his death, what happens? Read on. Notice what it says. "That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." By living the sinless life that he led, he overcomes the devil's sway on mankind and gives us the opportunity for eternal life. Verse 15, "And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, lowly flesh and blood, which is subject to death. But him taking it on overcame the death that will befall us all." Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest." Here's that other part of it. "He might be made a high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." So there you have it. This weakness of Christ going from his godhood to mankind gives mankind the opportunity to go from flesh and blood to become immortal, to become non-corruptible like God, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But let me go a little bit further here. Let's think about the life of a Christian now, having said everything we've said up to this point. Remember the theme today, strength through weakness. And let's think about the beginnings of our Christian walk for a moment. Now, I want to relate that to a consultant out there. His name is Patrick Lencioni. He's written a book called The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And he's paid a lot of money to tell Fortune 500 companies why their teams are not performing optimally. And what he finds is that at the root of a dysfunctional team is a lack of trust. Now think about that. A team needs to have trust. That's the foundation of a team, but that's also the foundation of a one-on-one relationship. When you think about marriage, and it's the foundation of your relationship with God. Now, what do I mean by that? Lencioni says this about trust. It's more than just character and competence. Many people say trust is about someone's character and their competence, how good they are inside and how good they do their job. That's true to a point, but Lencioni takes it a little bit further. He says trust is being able to say to someone, "I'm sorry, I made a mistake. You're better at this than I am. Can you please help me?" Now think about what I've just said there. "I'm sorry, I need your help. You're better at this than I am. I made a mistake." When you can talk like that to your colleague, you know you've got a trusting relationship. But let's bring that all into our Christian walk for a moment. How does that Christian walk begin? Think about it. What do you have to say before you become a Christian? "God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my sins. I'm repenting of my sins. God, you are greater than I am." Do you see that interesting connection between what social scientists are discovering is at the root of relationships And what the Bible has been telling us for years is at the root of your relationship with God. Notice what Peter says over in the book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 38. The New Testament church is beginning here, and Peter has this to say. Then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Repent. What is repentance? "I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're greater than I am." That's what repentance is all about. But get this. What do we gain from this relationship? Remember what I said. Strength through weakness. When we say, "I'm sorry," when we say, "You're better than I am," to God, we are showing our weakness, our humility, our humbleness. And what does God say to that? "Bring it on. I can work with that." And what does He do for us? He gives us His Holy Spirit. And that strengthens us. That builds us up. Do you see this spiritual principle playing out here over and over in Scripture in so many different ways? We are weak when we are strong. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, another major scripture in your Bible. And the reason this scripture is so important and so often quoted is listen to what he says. Micah 6 verse 8. "He has shewed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." Humility or humbleness, many look at it as weakness. But what it truly is it will build you up, because God can work with that. He cannot work with arrogance. He cannot work with someone who wants to control everything. We see this example played out in the life of Jesus Christ. Notice what Christ says as a perfect example of humility over in the book of Luke. I'm going to pick it up there in Luke chapter 22. Christ is about to be crucified. He's about to go through a very trying time as a human being. And notice what he says in Luke 22, beginning in verse 39. "And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing," notice, "remove this cup from me." But in the very next breath, he's showing his weakness here as a human. I get it. But notice what he says in the very next breath. "Not my will, but thine be done." He calls on God immediately in his weakest moment. And what does God do for him? Notice the next verse, verse 43. "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him." Do you see this concept, this principle of strength and weakness reiterated and told to us in the life of Jesus Christ, in the life of David, in the life of various figures in your Bible, within nature, within how we deal with each other in relationships? Yes, we can find strength in weakness by calling upon God and asking Him to take over our lives with His Holy Spirit. That is the strength we all require to get through this life. That's what God is talking about here when we read about Paul talking about finding strength in weakness. Never forget, as Deuteronomy 31 verse 8 tells us, that God is always there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, I hope this particular episode of the Armor of God has interested you in this subject of finding strength in weakness, don't forget the offerings we are offering on today's program. We want you to get the booklet, How You Can Be an Overcomer. Jesus Christ promises everlasting life in the kingdom of God to him who overcomes. But what does it mean to be an overcomer? This book will help you understand. We also want you to get that full-length sermon CD that I mentioned earlier. It will expand on these principles that we've been talking about on today's program. The title of that full-length sermon CD is A Vulnerable Tabernacle, and I will show you instances in the Bible where Jesus made people vulnerable for a specific reason, and I will expand on all the themes I've discussed on today's program. You can get both of these items free of charge. The CD and the booklet, all you need to do is call us toll-free at 1-888-578-8791. Again, that's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can go to our website and you can actually download the booklet from our website. You can also listen to the CD right from our website. There's an item called Menu, and under the menu that reads Sermons and Literature, you can get the CD and the literature we're offering today. That website is www.cgi.org. Again, that's www.cgi.org. Again, some people think it's counterintuitive, strength in weakness, but I hope that this program has showed you that we all want to gain that strength in weakness through the power of God's Holy Spirit. So long for now. We'll see you again.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.